Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings if the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So we have a lot of basketball coming up in the next few minutes. We're waiting to hear Gino Auriemma following UConn's loss in the Final Four to Arizona. Game finished just a few moments ago. We got a lot of NFL to get to, including a quarterback that could be had for a first-round pick, or less if you want to wait a little bit longer.
Sam Darnold.
You don't need a first round pick for Sam Darnold. Come on, you can show up and say, "Listen, I'll just take his contract off your hands." And great. We'll give you Sam Darnold.
I have a half used guarana and coffee energizing cleanser that you can have from the Body Shop. How about that?
Half used or three quarters
half
used?
Half used. It's about.
Oh, okay. Half used is fine. Three quarters used. Then you're telling me it's like almost gone. But half used is fine.
I think you would say it's about half.
Okay, all right, that's good. I'm going to hold you to that.
That's pretty good.
That's a nice job right now.
No, it's very, very good. Very, very good for the skin. Refreshing, just like, you know, watching good basketball and baseball and just the world opening anew.
Mm. You know, I love doing the show with you. It's you know, listen, it's what I do. It's what we do together. And there's very few times where I go, oh boy, I wish I was you know, had the chance to do something else. But right now, because I know you're going to love this, Zoe is watching Moneyball for the first time. This is her first Moneyball, and she loves it. I just went out and checked to say, hey, what's going on? Oh my God, you guys are watching Moneyball? She goes, Dad, this is really funny. And I said,
did you tell her that they never won?
Yeah, I just spoiled it for her and said, hey, let me tell you what happens to the A's, okay?
Spoiler, there's a lot of frustration. And look, there's Chris Pratt.
Well, no, I haven't told her yet. I said, there's a huge Marvel star who's going to be in it. She goes, who? I go, I'm not going to tell you. There's a big Marvel star coming up. So who is it? Is it Robert Downey Jr.? I go, yes, it's Robert Downey Jr. He plays David Justice. But she's like, Dad, it's so funny. And, you know, she just had they just had the scene when they're going through all the free agents and Brad Pitt is snapping his fingers and pointing to Jonah Hill for he gets on base. Or, who is this guy? Does he need to be here? What's going on?
He gets on base.
Oh, she loves it so far. He gets on base. There's 50 feet of crap.
Then he gets on base.
His legs are gone. His legs are gone, Billy. His legs are gone. But why do we like him? He gets on base. So I think I will probably wind up the next time checking in the scene when they try to tell Scott Hattieburg how easy it is to play first base.
Oh, it's easy. That's a fantastic scene. It's easy to play first base.
Tell him, Wash, it's incredibly hard. Yeah, well, okay, you'll learn.
And what she's done with that, she can go back for another excellent episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I often say that to
The Falcon and the Snowman. I keep going back to the Sean Penn, Timothy Hutton.
I wonder if more people are watching that. I wonder if that got more downloads because people think that's what it was or they clicked on the wrong thing. Yeah. The Falcon and, oh, Snowman. Yeah, that's it.
For those that haven't seen it, 1985, I believe, fantastic movie.
Ooh, this is...
Grizzly.
Whoa, I didn't know there were so many people died like this. I didn't know it was about drugs. And this is a
Marvel
movie?
The Falcon and the
movie?
Winter Soldier last night, viewing experience. Let me tell you, that was fun.
I got to tell you, you know what it looked like? It looked like a Bourne movie. That's what the third episode was. It was really convoluted. I'm like, okay, now wait a minute. Now who are they talking about here? Because, you know, they're obviously, you know, setting stuff up the rest of the way. But I was like, it was like a Bourne movie the way people were getting killed in it. I'm like,
yeah,
wow,
I just want a whole Daniel Brühl universe. That's all I can say.
This is not Marvel. There's guys getting shot in the head. What is happening?
Well,
this is not what Marvel does.
He had it coming.
No.
He only had himself to blame, Smith.
That's true.
Without spoiling things.
You're right.
Meanwhile, I'm still coming off the high of Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, there's so much going on in the White Sox in the middle of the seventh with a 7-6 lead. It's beautiful.
Two basketball stories that are somewhat related. Right now, in a shocking game, because of the way this is coming down, the Lakers are just thumping the Kings right now. They're playing this game without Andre Drummond, without Magic, without Kareem, without Worthy. And the Lakers are beating the Kings 106-82 with 6.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They've been great from the field. They've been great from three-point range. Kyle Kuzma has 28. They've held the Kings to 80 points. The Lakers, this is a very impressive win because it's showing, again, that, hey, we can beat the teams we're supposed to beat without AD and without LeBron. I still look at them as, you know what, think about finishing sixth because the Blazers are going to play better than you as you're missing your stars. Same thing with the Nuggets. But sixth place is where the Lakers can say, hey, if we're sitting here for the beginning of the playoffs, we're in a 3-6 matchup, and then, okay, that's just the way it's going to be. But the Lakers have looked phenomenal tonight. You know, Talen Horton-Tucker has been good off the bench. Everybody shot well. The Kings are not terrible. They're, you know, they're 500-ish, you know, 22 and 25. But, you know, the Lakers are playing well, and they have surprised me in the past few days with the games where they have played well and not just continually just, you know, circled the drain without AD and LeBron waiting for them to get back, especially coming off the news with Andre Drummond. Hopefully he's only going to miss a couple of games with that missed big toenail.
That big toe. Big toe. No, good balance tonight. Good offensive work. It's funny you mentioned the Blazers because right now they're getting pasted by the Bucks in Portland. Last look, 112-97. Giannis with 44-11-2 on the night, having himself a day. So it's, you know, six seed. If you can stay there, that's good. Just figure out how to have more games against the Kings, because they're just playing out the streak at this point. Get the young guys some more time. Look, Harrison Barnes doesn't need all these shots. Get the kids some minutes. They need some experience.
It is a big night for the Lakers winning this, because this is one of those confidence builders. They're going to get Andre Drummond back, and then hopefully in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks it's Anthony Davis. But this shows you they're not just going to completely just fall down the standings. It's a big gut check kind of time. Look, Marc Gasol is having a good night after basically being told you're not going to start anymore, and as pissed as he was, and he's having a nice game tonight. He's actually scored 5 points. You know, he's got 9 rebounds and a bunch of assists too. I mean, this is a big game for the Lakers.
I'm glad you mentioned him. Be a professional. You know what? They brought a guy in. You don't like it? Tough. Answer the questions.
Yeah. If this was 8 years ago,
using to talk to reporters and all that stuff is just nonsense.
If this was 8 years ago when he was a star, I would say, well, maybe I can understand. But dude, you're 36, man. You score like 1.8 points a game. I mean, come on, man. I mean, they're bringing in an all-star guy. You know, they're not just they didn't say, hey, we're trading for Nerlens Noel to come in. No, they're bringing in an all-star to come in and play center because he's good. But still, hey, a big night for the Lakers. And what is going to wind up eventually potentially being a good night for the Lakers. The other big NBA headline tonight is the final score between the Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. If you had the Warriors and you were getting 52, you felt pretty good going into tonight.
Yeah,
you also
did.
Walked away with an L because the Raptors beat the Warriors 130-77.
You know what? Live betting, you probably did have a minus 52 option at some point because it got up to 60. I mean, it did get up to 60, so you would have thought you were sitting pretty. And then a late run does you in.
Toronto outscores Golden State by 19 in the second quarter, which is a pretty big deal. But that looks like nothing because the Raptors outscored the Warriors by 32 in the third quarter. Obviously, Golden State playing tonight. They didn't have Draymond Green. They didn't have Steph Curry. And this plays into the story that was kind of playing around a bit this week that we told you about weeks ago. The Warriors are not going to win again. All right, not with this team, not how it's created. And eventually, Steph Curry, sooner rather than later, is going to realize that if he wants to win, if he wants to keep playing meaningful basketball and not get drubbed like this, he's going to have to leave Golden State and go sign someplace else. Brian Windhorst had the story this week that LeBron was recruiting him and everybody was a tizzy here in L.A. Oh, LeBron and a shooter, LeBron and a shooter. We told you a couple of months ago, this is how it's going to go for Steph Curry. He does have the look of, hey, I'm an all-time Warrior and this is my only team. But when he looks at the next 5 years of his NBA career, which are going to be good ones, right? He's going to have a lot of legs left. He hasn't played a lot of minutes. He's going to say, do I really want to go get my butt kicked? you know, every year and be kind of a 500 team and try to get in the playoffs. No, I'm going to go someplace else because I want to keep winning and I want to keep being relevant. If he stays with the Warriors, that's what he's looking at. Because on paper, you could say, well, when Klay comes back, you got Klay, you have Steph, you have Draymond. First of all, Draymond Green is not nearly the guy he was even 3 years ago. You have no idea what Klay Thompson is going to be like coming back from dual Achilles tears. Is he still going to be Klay? Is he not? You're not going to get the over-the-top player to come to make you a superstar team like you did when Kevin Durant came. The era is over. It was a phenomenal run, right? It was a great run. They had a 5-year run, and it was title after title after title. It really was something. But this is where Steph Curry is going to look in the mirror and go, I don't know that I can stay here. Because as everybody leaves in the NBA, you think, oh, you may stay, you stay. Everybody leaves. The NBA is a year to 2 year league now. People say, the stars go, what am I looking at my next year? 2 years at the most, right? They're not, I don't want to look at an 8-year deal for $240 million. All the superstars say, I want to be able to have flexibility. I want to be able to go someplace. I want to play. I want to play. I want to be relevant. I want to keep winning. And Steph Curry is someone who is extremely cognizant of his legacy. And he knows that it's going to be, I got to go someplace else. Now, he's got one more year left on his deal, but this could be something that you've already seen the ball rolling on this, and he knows. Barring Klay Thompson coming back and suddenly, hey, he's better than he ever was, and the lack of tread on his legs, he's back. But this is going to end just how it's been for the Warriors. It's going to be Steph Curry is going to say, I need to go someplace else, and his free agent recruitment is going to be crazy. The Lakers are going to be insane for him. The Clippers will be insane for him. Anybody is going to be insane. The Knicks will be insane for him. Everybody, the Celtics, every team in the NBA is going to go, we got to have him, got to have him. It'll be like Peyton Manning's free agent tour when he left the Colts. It's, oh my God, Peyton Manning, he's going to be healthy and he's got 4 or 5 more years left. That's what it's going to be like for Steph Curry, because he's going to realize, if he hasn't already, I'm going to have to go someplace else at some point, because all the players do.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, do you want to continue just piling up points, being a legend, and making that your legacy? You're one of the last guys to do that. Or does LeBron James get here? You know, getting recruited was pretty fun. Change it up with a new set of teammates and a new organization and that energy. It's a good run. By the way, we could do a Battle of the Titans. See, second Kong Godzilla reference. Over there, you got Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Over here, we can have squad, and we can run Skull Island. Let's go. No, it's just the idea that, you know, everybody wants to be wanted too, right? You want to feel like you're important, and, you know, everybody, the recruiting process that we see, he's got 1 year left on the deal to either sign the extension, and there's been some commentary from the brass of the Warriors in recent days about him not signing a long-term extension at this point. You want to see what Klay Thompson comes back as, right? Whether you can do one more run. But what is that, to the middle of the Western Conference? Deck stacked against you, unless you're thinking that suddenly Wiseman takes some dramatic leap from his rookie year to his second year. I mean, that is a lot of wishing, wanting, and hoping. Or that you can get people to come up and pay San Francisco real estate prices to come play with you. I mean, that's a big bet, too, right, in terms of shuffling up. Because they got a lot of guys that could be out. I mean, Kelly Oubre was complaining, you know, when they asked about coming off the bench. He got all bristly and angry at a guy. So it's, you know, a little bit of malcontentedness. Losing tends to do that. And we'll see how, you know, they can start anew. If nothing else, he was having a lot of fun on the sideline today.
Homer, we're right in the middle. Where do we go? Hey, there's San Francisco. Yeesh, let's swim to Oakland.
Yes. Nicely done. There is obscure reference from the Simpsons.
They show San Francisco's got all the lights, and Oakland has all the factories and the smog and the smoke.
And you got the port, yeah.
Look, the Lakers will clearly be the favorites for Steph Curry when he does finally decide, because it's still West Coast. He's no matter what happens, he's going to be beloved in the Bay Area because of what he did and the titles he won. He's a superstar that enjoys a Teflon image in which it's hard to say, oh, Steph Curry. Even if he goes to the Lakers, not going to matter.
It's change the game,
matter.
Baby.
Doesn't matter. And if he goes there, it'll be another couple of years of traveling all-stars because, look, what do the Lakers need? They need a shooter. They need guys to score more points. That's what. Now, lots of players could say that. Lots of teams could. But this is where the power of LeBron and Anthony Davis, and if you're going to go someplace to win a title, who else? Where else are you going to go if you're Steph Curry? Like right? If you're talking about right now, the way the NBA is set up, right? You like being a big star. And you want to be a big star in a big city, and you want to go where you can win. All right, well, Brooklyn's already got three of them, so you're not going there. The 76ers already have a couple. Do you want to go to the East Coast and be in Philadelphia? You're going to go try to team up with Giannis, who may go. All right, so all those teams are out. Then you look at the Western Conference. You're going to go to Phoenix? I mean, is that where you're going to go? You could go to the Clippers. Clippers would be great. Clippers would be awesome, right? They're on the cusp. They're there. You're going to go to Denver. You go into Portland, or you go to the Lakers, where they can tell you, here's an aging LeBron. Here's a peak Anthony Davis, and you just slot right in, and it's going to be fantastic. And here you are continuing your brand, and it's going to help him. It's going to help his brand. It's going to help his wife's brand. Really, the Lakers are going to wind up being the destination when Curry does want to leave. And will there be a little bit of smoothing over with Golden State? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because, you're joining the Lakers, but it's going to be, hey, I gave you the best years of my career, and look at what we did. And they're going to say, okay, thank you, Steph. Good luck, and we'll root against you in the playoffs. But the Lakers, clear, LeBron wouldn't be doing it if he didn't think they had a great chance to land him. And if you're handicapping the places right now, the Lakers are going
to
be it.
Well, you know what? He could have also been recruited into a place he used to play and have a lot of fun in. Tice, your favorite city in the world?
Cleveland!
And get him out of the conference so he doesn't have to try to face him in the playoffs and that jump shot if he doesn't successfully recruit him.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Oh, we got more basketball on the way, but coming up next, hey, if you want a starting quarterback, he's available for you. You can make a trade for him. You just have to trade a first-round pick. Not an early first-round pick. You got to trade a first-round pick. How likely is that to happen? We'll tell you coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
True.
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, it's a little weird, but if you need a quarterback, you can get one. A pretty decent one, and your price would simply be a first round pick, right?
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a high first round pick, not necessarily. Doesn't say it has to be a low first round pick at the end. Could be in the middle of the first round. You need to give up a first round pick. According to NFL Network, the asking price for Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers is a first round pick. Now, if they did that, they would get back more than what they did when they gave up to get him. So, hey, well, let's throw out there for a first-round pick and see what we get for Jimmy. Jimmy! This is nice. This is nice. And it's nice when they say, hey, we really are serious about keeping Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't laugh. Don't laugh at me. I'm serious. When I'm saying he's our starting quarterback right now, don't laugh at me when I say that. He's our guy. Wait, but you moved up to number three to get a quarterback. And is that guy really going to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo? Don't laugh. I'm telling you the truth. The Niners are going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, it's happening. Are they going to get a first-round pick? The only way I could see it is where he's going to wind up going to the team that he's going to end up with eventually. He's going to end up back with the Patriots. It's happening. It's like a big dance we're seeing right now, where if anybody else wanted Jimmy Garoppolo, they could have called for a trade. He's owed $25 million this year, and the 49ers, are they going to draft a guy and say, you're going to sit? No, you're going to play that guy, and then you're going to sit Jimmy Garoppolo? loan is $25 million. It's not happening. It's not happening. They can sit here and posture all they want. They're going to trade Garoppolo. And most of the teams in the NFL have figured things out so far, right? The Jets are sitting at number two. Clearly, by their stance, they're taking a quarterback, right? They didn't move down in the draft. They're taking a quarterback. We know the 49ers are taking a quarterback, right? So what does this leave? This leaves the Bears. I'm sorry, this leaves the Broncos, and it leaves the a little bit, well, probably more because they want to replace Teddy Bridgewater, and it leaves the Carolina Panthers. Now, this could play out into the draft because depending on how the draft goes, I'm sure a couple of teams want to see, hey, could we maybe get Justin Fields? Could we maybe get Trey Lance? And then you start seeing around the midway point of the first round, teams that didn't get a quarterback feel a little antsy, especially with teams like Carolina and Denver who have ready-made offenses. They're just waiting for a quarterback to come in, right? It's like when you see that house listing that says all the furniture included, just waiting for you to buy this house and come in and live, right? That's basically what these teams are saying, because Denver's got great weapons, man, and so does Carolina. They just come on in, just come on in. So it could get to a bit of a bidding war, but when it comes down to it, there's no way the Patriots are going to go into this season with just Cam Newton. Could they find a way to get Trey Lance or maybe Justin Fields if they maneuver up away or they fall in the draft? Yeah, that's why this might not happen until the draft night, but I would handicap it as the Patriots are going to wind up getting him. Because the quarterbacks are going to go before they could trade up. No one's going to trade up with let the Patriots trade up to get a quarterback because they say, we're not going to let you come up and redo a dynasty because you know something we don't about Trey Lance. So in the end, it's going to wind up them trading for Jimmy Garoppolo with the Broncos and the Panthers being the second and third options if they don't get a guy. But really, I can't see any outcome other than Garoppolo goes back, especially because you know how much Bill Belichick wants to show Tom Brady. I wanted Garoppolo over you 4 years ago. Guess what? I'm going to go out and get him 4 years later, and now I'm going to go win. So you won that Super Bowl. That was great. But watch me go win with Jimmy Garoppolo when I wanted him over you 4 years ago. Don't forget about that part of it because he was Belichick's guy. And when they traded him, it was something that Bob Kraft did and Belichick couldn't forgive him and Brady, and that's where everything and all the bad tidings and all ill will came from. So it's going to likely be Garoppolo back to the Patriots because it makes too much sense to happen. But maybe if something crazy happens, because it is the draft, you see those other two teams, but Garoppolo is going to go to one of them.
Yeah, I think it ends up back in New England. We've been saying this for months. It's just a long, protracted dance. Cam Newton's nice stopgap. And I have great optimism. If he were to be the guy, I think this offseason and him with another offseason of work, I'm intrigued at what it could become, right? I don't know that the throwing motion is going to be better. Was that a function of still healing and coming off the surgeries and everything? I don't know. But he's a guy that, like we've talked about with some of the first, second-year guys that got thrust into lineups without much of a primer, right? No preseason games and really no offseason. And the fact that the Patriots have gone out of their way to say, look, we had nothing. We had nothing for Cam. Robert Kraft's been doing a lot of talking, by the way. He's you know, jabber jaws right now, as it were. But you can go back to your 70s cartoon right there, people. But it's for Jimmy Garoppolo, it doesn't make sense to, after trading up to number three, to go get him. Unless you're telling me they're drafting Sewell. And I don't know that John Lynch and company will be dancing around if that were the case, right? Like they did. Because remember, whenever we talk, you know, in this, and we were making fun of the Bears before, remember how much the 49ers celebrated, quote-unquote, fleecing the Bears in 2017. So who's to say they get this one right either? But for Jimmy Garoppolo.
In a deal that turned out to not be great for anybody, right? Like all
it was good for the Saints. That was it.
That's true.
They got Kamara.
It was good for the Saints, yes. It turned out
based on the conference of draft picks, they were the winners. You know, right? Solomon Thomas, part-time player, injured, now a Raider. There you go. No second contract. But Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, you mentioned Carolina and Denver real quick. Because remember, Denver gets Cortland Sutton back. He didn't play last year. And they had the Judy and Hamler and Noah Fant. There's an offense there to be had. Melvin Gordon in the backfield. And Carolina, you know how much we love all those speed guys and what they've got. Even though Samuel is gone, they still have a pretty loaded squad. So Jimmy Garoppolo will be somewhere else. I would suspect it's the AFC. And then all the revenge narratives that everybody wants to do about Jimmy Garoppolo and Bill Belichick, and the divorce is final, so now you got to go win the second phase, even though Brady's already won up there. All of those narratives start again, and you know, it makes for good lazy radio for a lot of folks. That's good.
Yeah, look, if the Niners really didn't want to trade him, there would be no stories of, hey, we're not, he's our guy, but, you know, we want a first-round pick if we're going
to
trade him.
Yeah, so, they doth protest too much to go
so stop insulting our intelligence with that. We know you want to trade him, but here's the thing. While he doesn't really have value now, this is where the Niners are doing a smart thing, because I think in the end, they are going to get a first-round pick for him, because right now, everybody's got their guy, right? We watch free agency come, and the first couple of waves are here, and we saw players get signed, and now everything has calmed down, and teams now have a plan for their quarterbacks. They're looking at the draft, and they're saying, okay, let's try to get A, B, C here. Let's see how it goes. But what are our fallback options? They know Garoppolo is out there, and they know the Jets are going to wind up trading Sam Darnold, right? All those things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the two quarterback needy teams, or the three quarterback needy teams, they're out there. Now, there's no way the Jets are trading Darnold to the Patriots, but they know there's still a couple of guys out there that teams want to move on from. As it gets closer, now picture the first night of the draft, and you see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're going, oh my goodness, this is insane. And then Trey Lance is going to go really early as well. And then you're looking at Denver and Carolina and the Patriots, and suddenly there's a bidding war for Garoppolo because you've lost out on your guy. And it would be one thing if the Broncos and the Panthers were rebuilding, saying, okay, you know, we'll get a guy in the second round that we like, and we're going to groom him, kind of like what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. But no, it's going to be, we're ready to go. And suddenly then Jimmy Garoppolo is a huge asset. By time going by and seeing guys fly off the board, you know what the emotions look like in the NFL draft. Hey, we got to get a guy. We just watched five quarterbacks go in the first seven picks, man. What the hell is going on? We got to get our guy. We got to get our guy. And when all the blue chip talent kind of falls off the board by pick 14, all those great players, you know, Kyle Pitts will be taken by then. You know, Lyman will be taken by then. Devontae Smith will be taken by then. Then you're going to see teams go, all right, we got to give that first round pick. And it may not be the first round pick this year. It could be a first round pick next year, but someone's going to pull the trigger and say, all right, we're to get this done, we're going to give you a first round pick, and the Niners are going to get back what they want for him. It's really smart from the put out first round pick right now, because teams go, okay, you're going in, it's got to be a first round pick. All right, let's go get him and let's go do it. And like I said, it'll probably be during the draft, during night one of the draft, but it's going to happen. It will happen that way for Garoppolo.
But just remember, the beauty of it is we are into April. Mm. Just, what, 4 weeks?
I know.
Until we're
amazing.
Talking about the draft, baby.
Yep.
Oh, let's get it on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. You know, the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo, because this gets us into another quarterback real quick, is that Garoppolo's going to go, him and Darnold will be the last couple of starters that wind up getting dealt, right? That's when everything's going to fall into place, right? The only things we're waiting for right now, starting-wise, are Darnold and Garoppolo and the draft. Everything else is moving around, and you're talking about backups. But the one backup that could wind up being a guy that we found out today is Alex Smith, as there's a report that the Texans could sign Alex Smith depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson. Now, we'll have more on Deshaun Watson coming up next hour, but Alex Smith to the Texans, I think you kind of have to make that happen right now. I mean, I don't know that you can wait anymore, because no matter what happens with Deshaun Watson, either he's going to be embroiled in all kinds of legal stuff, or can he really still play in Houston after all this is over? However this comes out, even if it comes out that, hey, here he is and he comes out to be innocent, can he really still play there after this? There's no way. You have to figure out what is next for you, and obviously it's going to be drafting a quarterback, but if you need someone that can come in and play right away, there is nobody better to go out that can kind of maneuver things and steer the ship following controversy like Alex Smith can. Because this isn't just going to be a normal season for the Texans.
Yeah, but you signed Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, you give him a shot. That's great. But Alex Smith can come in and he can start, or he can be a backup. It doesn't matter. You know, he knows that his time of starting, it's kind of, hey, you'd have to go win or wait for an opportunity. So if you have Tyrod Taylor, that's nice. But Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith, that's an even better combination.
Curious. That's a lot of money to tie up for guys that are placeholders.
Yeah, remember, you're not going to have Deshaun Watson. I mean, there's just way the guy stays. There's no way the guy stays.
Draft another couple. Do your thing. Third day, every draft, every round, I draft a quarterback.
Rounds 4 through 7, draft quarterbacks.
I forgot about that idea, didn't you?
I love that. That's my best. If you need a quarterback, and this is one of my best ideas I've ever had.
Between that and your Hail Mary play, I mean, come on now.
Oh, man, my Hail Mary play would work so well. But just think about it. If you need a all the philosophy of, you know, hey, draft a quarterback every year because you never know. No. You get to the fourth round, you're just throwing darts, man. Draft quarterbacks round 4 through 7 every year. You're going to hit on somebody at some point within a 2 or 3 year span. You're going to say, oh my goodness, this guy is great. And all you're paying, it's a 4th to 7th round pick. You can get all of the guys you need who are, you know, first, second year that get waived, come in and play. You can get guys that are going to come into camp and they're going to be just, that'd be the same guys you drafted in rounds 4, 5, 3, 6, and 7. Go get a quarterback round 4, 5, 6, and 7. Yes, I completely support that plan.
See, we brought back one of your famous spots from years and years ago. You thought I'd forgotten. We actually had a whole TV show idea based around drafting and the competition of having like 9 young quarterbacks in camp.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, it's not often after a big loss you see a coach throwing his entire team under the bus. But this falls under the category of what press conference did I tell you was going to be epic following a big loss tonight? That is absolutely true, and we have it for you next, right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh! Yes, sir.
And, you know, I want to say I was right about this bold prediction, but it's not really a bold prediction because I knew it was going to happen. The biggest story tonight coming out of basketball, Arizona upsets UConn. So it is going to be a women's championship, the all Pac-12 battle between Arizona and Stanford as the Wildcats beat the Huskies 69-59. A lot of poise down the stretch. You know, Arizona, who finished second in the Pac-12 to Stanford, hit their free throws, made the right plays. Mm-hmm. Even at the end when UConn was trying desperately to come back, they had a strip and a layup that gave them an 8-point lead. The game was over. It was an incredible effort by Arizona. And I told you, the post-game press conference is going to be epic because Gino Auriemma is just going to give us something that is incredible. And he has not disappointed. Well, he may be disappointed as players, but he has figured out a way to throw every one of his players under the bus following this loss tonight. Here's the first quote I want to tell you. Here's Gino talking about his team and why they lost tonight and what they have to work on. Go ahead.
We have a very immature group, you know, and not just young. I mean, we have a young group, but very immature group. And when we're, you know, when we're high and when we're, you know, on top of the world, we think, you know, everything's great. And when things don't go our way, there's a poutiness about us. There's a feeling sorry for ourselves about us.
He went on to say when he was asked about Paige Buchers, one of the best players in college basketball, burst on the scene this year, you know, she'd be the next great UConn star. As good as you all think she is, and she's really good, if we're going to be here the next couple of years with her at Connecticut, she needs to get a lot better.
Boom.
I get Gino Auriemma, and I get that this is who he is, right? This is his strategy. This is kind of what he's always done. Yes, he speaks his mind. He does all these things. It's not like you lost in the first round of the tournament, right? You made it to the Final Four, and you lost. And you want to single out your player who had a great year, but boy, she had a and everybody had a bad game. But you want to sit here and say, you got to get a lot better. We got an immature group. We're not just young. We're immature. There's a poutiness about us. There's a feeling sorry for ourselves. You had a bunch of girls in that locker, a bunch of athletes who just fell one game short of the national championship.
Wait, 28-2.
You think they're not disappointed? You think they don't know? And they need to see you on national television throwing them all under the bus that way? I mean, come on. I mean, look what he's been able to accomplish. Look, this guy's one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. But is there really a need for this? Like, as he's gotten older, he's gotten more saltier and more ready to rip his team. And if it was a disappointing end where, hey, we got upset, I get it, but you still lost to a really good team. You know, even he gave credit to the other team, said that a couple of players we just had no answer for, and I get that. But, wow, this is something that you say when you get your team together and say, okay, you know what? Let me just tell you this. There's a poutiness about all of you, and we feel sorry for ourselves, and that's not going to happen next season. That's something you talk about behind closed doors with your team. Right? You don't think they feel crappy about losing the way they did, about falling short of the standards at UConn? I mean, like I said, I get this is Geno, but boy, as he gets older more times, like, I'm going to use this opportunity here. I get it. There's nothing you're accomplishing now you couldn't accomplish by saying this behind closed doors to your team, because what you say behind closed doors to them, hey, this doesn't go anywhere. I'll protect you in the press, right? I'll protect you and say, hey, Paige had a rough game. It was really tough, but this is that. But this is not something that's necessary. And especially in an era now in college basketball where, hey, UConn still is the destination, you know what? There's lots of other great places you can go to and be a star. This is not 2005 or 1997 where it's UConn or it's Tennessee and that's it, right? There's plenty of play. You can go to Stanford. You can go to Texas Tech. You can go to Arizona now. You can go to a lot of places and have a great college basketball career. You can go to Notre Dame and have a great college basketball career and play in Final Fours. And this is not something that's going to drive recruits there. This is not something that's going to make it seem like, hey, things are great. Player coming up, because a player right now coming up in college basketball doesn't know UConn is a team that's won national championship. They haven't won in 5 years. So you got girls in high school right now that didn't grow up saying, hey, UConn's they're the star program right now. For the last 15 years up until 2016, yes, every couple of years they won. UConn, we got to go. But now you haven't won in a while. And now are you showing that UConn is still the same destination? You want to make sure you're showing that, and none of that's being accomplished by Geno Auriemma tonight.
Look, I'm all for being salty, and sometimes you feel like you got to make your point. You went 28-2. How much pouting did they do over the course of the year when they were bludgeoning many opponents like they do, well, year after year? 13 straight Final Fours. Okay, I get it. The standard is very, very high, and there are some legends in and around the game and the names we all remember from the broadcast crew now all the way through. But to go out and decide, hey, let me light some fire here, like, I don't know that it works, right? Yesterday we commemorated the retirement of Roy Williams, and you got a lot of coaches on their way out. Well, rhetoric like this, that don't play the same way it did, you know, in 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It's a different world. And especially if they get more run, the players, that is, with name, image, and likeness, you think they're going to tolerate this kind of nonsense? No. No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it works when you are winning all the time and you are the only place. You want to go play someplace else? Go play at Tennessee. Oh, they didn't get you. Then good luck. Good luck being on the national landscape there. Maybe you get lucky. Look, we got to have four teams in the Final Four. Maybe you'll wind up on a team, but you come here. This is it. Now it's a much different world. You know, it really is. It's like UConn and Geno Auriemma were ESPN in the 90s and early 2000s, right? Hey, we're the only game in town. You really want to do sports for a living. Now it's, wait a minute, there's Fox and there's NBC and there's CBS and there's lots of places you can go. You can have a really great life outside of Bristol, Connecticut. It can happen for you. It's the same kind of philosophy now. And if Geno continues like this, what worked well 10 years ago ain't going to work well now. I'm telling you.
Well, great Twitter to see someone else crash the party. Let me tell you that.
Ah, there you go. Mike Harmon, Jason Smith. It is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, two quarterbacks, two vastly different stories about them. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio.